Strokeside Designs is a New York-based fine jewelry company focused on water sports. This is the best jewelry I have found through many years of searching. I love my Dragon Boat Paddle Heart earrings and my pendant. The jewelers at Strokeside Designs have worked for famous jewelry houses such as Tiffany & Company and Cartier. All of the pieces are hand-finished from fine materials. Express your passion for kayaking, canoeing, and dragon boating. Visit paddlejewelry.com and get free shipping with the code PINK. That is paddlejewelry.com and enter the code PINK. Are you a dragon boat athlete? Have you ever thought about joining a team? Hornet Water Sports makes high-performance, lightweight, carbon fiber dragon boat paddles. You can choose from one of their many graphic designs. Don't settle for just a boring black paddle. I love their design so much that I have four different paddles. They also have all of the dragon boat accessories that you need, paddle bags, tip covers, tape, and more. Visit their website at hornetwatersports.com and enter the code PINK at checkout to receive 10% off of your order. That's hornetwatersports.com and enter the code PINK. Thanks for listening. My guest on this episode is Lise Lozell, the Marketing Director for Casting for Recovery, a national nonprofit organization providing fly fishing retreats to women diagnosed with breast cancer. Lise shares how and why the organization was founded. She gives the inside scoop on how to apply, the system for picking the participants, and what happens at each retreat. Take a listen in. Welcome to Behind the Pink Ribbon, where we share stories, information, and other content related to breast cancer. My name is Melissa Adams. I am a 12-year genetic breast cancer survivor. I've learned so much through my own journey with breast cancer. I have met some amazing people along the way, many that have become lifelong friends. I have experienced the emotional roller coaster of a breast cancer diagnosis, heartache, anger, frustration, loneliness, and even gratitude. Through this podcast, we will speak to breast cancer survivors, supporters, and healthcare professionals to gain insight and understanding behind the pink ribbon. I'm here today with Lise. She is the Director of Marketing for Casting for Recovery. So thank you so much for being on the podcast with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I can't tell you how excited I was to be able to say that you guys were going to come onto the podcast. I have a friend that has done one of the retreats, and as soon as she had told me about it, I was like, I need to get them on the podcast. I need to know more. I want our listeners to know more. So I am super, super excited for this.
That is awesome. We are really excited too. And we love talking about what we do in Casting for Recovery. So
yeah. So let's kind of talk a little bit about the organization. When was it founded?
It was founded in 1996 in Vermont. So we're inching up on our 25th anniversary.
That's amazing.
I know. It's crazy to think about, really. Yeah. You know, started with one retreat. So it's a whole different world now.
And so it started in Vermont. Was it started by a breast cancer survivor? So the Casting for Recovery is a specific organization for women with breast cancer, correct?
Right. So we provide outdoor healing experiences for women with breast cancer, any age and any stage of treatment and or recovery, and at no cost to the participants. So it's completely free to attend. It's fly fishing focused, but it's really so much more than just the fly fishing.
So who started the organization and why?
So it was born out of a conversation that was had by a professional fly angler and a reconstructive surgeon. And they were fishing and kind of just talking about, you know, the motion of casting and how it would be good for women with lymphedema and, you know, just kind of that, you know, reconnecting with yourself and other women outside. So, you know, that was sort of the impetus of the concept, I guess, is just that healing power of nature and just the gentle movement of casting. You know, it doesn't require a lot of strength or power to do it. And so, like I said, it started with just, you know, a small group of women in one retreat.
Yeah. Well, and I find it fascinating. So I am a dragon boater. I don't know if you even know what that is, but I do a dragon boat sport, and it's really big within the breast cancer world. But, you know, 25 years ago, the conversation was really about, you know, don't do this, don't do that, you know, no vacuuming, no lifting anything, no, you know, repetitive movements with the arm, you know, anything like that, because it will cause lymphedema. You know, so I there's definitely a big difference between the gentleness of the fly fishing versus the intensity, if you will, of dragon boating. But still at the same by the same sense, it still was kind of really started around, both of them kind of started around this whole idea of, you know, women who have experienced breast cancer, you know, need to have something else that they can do. You know, telling them that they can't do all of these things is not okay. So I love that, you know, this surgeon just kind of thought, oh, this would be a great idea to kind of pull this together for women impacted by breast cancer to kind of not necessarily heal the lymphedema, but it wouldn't be so much of a factor, if you will.
Right. I mean, maybe it would help, right? And also the getting out of a clinical setting and getting, you know, connecting with other women in a similar circumstance who just get what you're going through, being outside, all of those things are super powerful and healing too.
Right.
And you know, at every retreat that we have, there is some sort of medical professional, you know, and, oftentimes it's an oncologist themselves, or maybe an oncology nurse or a nurse navigator. And there's also mental health professionals on the team. So, you know, you go to this retreat with 14 other women and you have the opportunity to, you know, not be rushed through a conversation, you know, with a healthcare professional. And I think that's pretty interesting too and unique in this model.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I just love the idea that, you know, because when I think about the things that I've done to kind of, you know, prevent lymphedema, and I did not have as many of my, oh my gosh, lymph nodes, duh, removed. you know, so I don't know that I'm at such a higher risk for it. But, you know, a lot of us end up going through like physical therapy. So I would imagine that this is kind of along the same lines, almost, of, you know, kind of getting some of those movements in play to kind of help with that. So I love that.
Yeah, I think it is good for that. And let's be honest, it's good for everyone, right? Whether lymphedema was part of your, you know, diagnosis and process or not, it's good for everyone to get outside and move your body and, you know, listen to the birds chirp and stand in a river and all those things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the difference in the sounds that happen outside in nature versus the sounds that happen within a clinical setting are very different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how many, so it started in Vermont, but I know that you are not in Vermont.
Right.
So this has really kind of expanded over the course of time. And so how many different states now have or host, if you will, a retreat for Casting for Recovery?
So we actually are nationwide. So we serve women from all 50 states. So we cover the whole country, but we have programs specifically in 45 states.
Wow.
But we kind of have an open border policy. So depending on where you live, some women, you know, like in Indiana or Kentucky on that border, you may, you know, live in Kentucky, but do your treatment in Indiana, you know, so, you know, we try to serve women at the retreat that's closest to them, which has proven to be really successful for us. We do keep it regionally focused because then, you know, you're building a community, right? And so if women live close by, then the hope is that they continue to get together and maybe even continue to fish long after their retreat.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. So, you know, how many retreats per year are happening? I mean, to have programs offered in 45 states, you know, that would kind of suggests to me that maybe you have at least 45 retreats throughout the year, but I don't want to assume. So how many do you have?
We have more than 45. So last year was our biggest retreat season to date, and we had 57 retreats in 45 states. Nice. And we typically serve about 800 women a year. And in 2019 in October, which was kind of a sweet thing for us, especially since it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we hit a big milestone of serving over 10,000 women since the inception of the program.
Wow.
So pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And we have a few within our retreat model. So at any given retreat, there's 14 women. That's sort of the sweet spot in the number of women that attend a retreat. And so 14 women are selected at random. You have to apply. It's a lottery system where, you know, women are randomly selected to go to the retreat. And they come in on a Friday and leave on a Sunday. And it's amazing to watch that transformation. You know, when you come in, you might be kind of nervous, and you're most likely meeting a group of women that you've never met before, and you're not sure what it's going to be about. And by Sunday, these women are like family. It's crazy and super magical to watch that transformation of, you know, things just opening up, and it's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely can envision, you know, kind of stepping into that, especially when it's kind of a lottery system, you know, because maybe I would say, hey, let's do this together to one of my friends. And then one of us gets picked and the other one doesn't. And it's kind of like, oh, now I have to go here by myself.
By myself. It's funny how that works. And I hate to, you know, working for Casting for Recovery has definitely reaffirmed to me that sort of belief that everything happens for a reason. It's crazy how the 14 women that are there are always the ones that were meant to be there. So let's say it was that situation. You went and a really close friend applied at the same time, and one of you got selected and one of you didn't. For whatever reason, that was meant to happen. And it'll become clear, you know, throughout the weekend or throughout that process, but it's really fascinating. Or maybe you apply and you both go, and it's also really clear why you both needed to be there together,
right?
You know? So it's just really funny how that comes together and pretty incredible too.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I would imagine, you know, people arrive on a Friday. Are they coming in the morning? Are they coming in the afternoon? Or, you know, just kind of whenever they can get there on Friday?
Usually we want everyone there by late afternoon so that, you know, people can kind of get acquainted and get situated in their rooms and you know, have dinner together and that kind of thing. So it's a late afternoon, early evening arrival. And then it wraps usually after lunch on Sunday. And Sunday is the fishing day. So, you know, throughout the weekend, there's, you know, different talks and classes and some free time. And, you know, you're kind of gearing up figuratively and literally gearing up to fly fish on Sunday morning with your own dedicated fly fishing guide.
Okay.
So that's the other thing that's been really cool about this program, is that it's really supported by the fly fishing community too. So, you know, we have an army of 1,800 volunteers across the country that volunteer their time and talent and energy to bring these programs to life. And that includes, you know, medical professionals, past participants, you know, and also a lot of fly fishing people. So it's a pretty cool thing.
That is cool. So you kind of talked about, because I was kind of wondering in terms of like, well, what does the program look like? You know, when do you go fly fishing? I would imagine it's not, you know, 8 hours of standing in the water and fly fishing. Or out of the water. I'm not really being quite sure. But so when they come in and they're, you know, they've done the dinner together and they've done all of that. And then what does their Saturday typically look like? Like, what are the topics that are, you know, presented at some of those talks? I mean, I would imagine that there's probably part of it is instruction on fly fishing and, you know, some kind of background on that. But are there other things that you are presenting as well?
Yes. Actually, yes, there is. So there will be some sessions on, you know, learning how to cast a fly rod, you know, kind of the basics of of fly fishing and entomology, understanding the bugs and why, you know, why you use what you use in fly fishing, and maybe some knot tying and how to use your gear, what the waders, you know, why are you wearing waders? What's that all about? And, you know, so there'll be some sort of overview on the fly fishing side. And then there always is a medical discussion, which is a really interesting and very popular one that is run by the health and wellness team. So, you know, an oncology professional and a mental health professional, and they, you know, go through and answer questions. And it's a really open, you know, safe space for people to talk and have time. And, you know, that's always a popular session. And then there is an evening session always at every retreat that's just for participants. You know, we have a whole big staff of people that help run a retreat. So there's lots of fly fishing people and some hospitality people and, you know, different people doing different things. But at the evening session, or an evening circle as it's called, it's just the participants. So the 14 women that are the participants, and then it's facilitated by the health and wellness team. And it's sort of a closed door session. And so I'm normally, if I volunteer my time at a retreat, I'm on the fly fishing side of things. So I actually have never been to an evening circle session, but I see the women before and after. And that is a really, really powerful session that people really, really like, and they laugh and they cry and you know, it seems to be a really bonding thing. And also, again, you know, we're not rushing through things. I mean, there definitely is a schedule to how the weekend works, but there's also a lot of time to really, you know, sort of regroup and reset. And so often the women that attend our retreats are so busy taking care of everyone else, yes, in their lives, that this weekend, you know, is an opportunity for them to really take care of themselves and have us as volunteers take care of them. And, you know, by Saturday night, they've really sort of settled into that. And I think it's a really special night. And then there's always lots of, you know, bonfires and making s'mores and that kind of thing too, depending on the venue.
Yeah. So, you know, I would imagine that there is a lot of power in, you know, bringing these 14 women together and having, you know, kind of that circle. And I would imagine, you know, I've done a couple of retreats myself. I've not done Casting for Recovery. So, you know, maybe I should put my name into the lottery.
You need to apply. Yes, absolutely.
But I know that there is so much power in, you know, sitting around and having conversations with people who have been through similar experiences. And there is a lot of laughter and there's a lot of joy that comes through that. And there are also a lot of tears as well. And I would imagine that within itself really brings the group closer together.
I think absolutely it does. And it's been really fascinating. You know, our retreats are not traditional, right? They're outside based and a little different. So it maybe attracts, you know, somebody who's interested in doing something different. You know, a lot of the women that attend our retreats have never been to a support group or a traditional support group. We've actually had women attend a Casting for Recovery retreat that nobody even knows that they have breast cancer except for themselves and their oncologist.
Wow.
And, you know, going into the weekend, you know, we love to, of course, to photograph the retreat and share pictures and magic moments afterwards. But we always have a photo release. And lots of times people will say going into it, like, oh, I don't know, I'm not ready to share and I'm not comfortable with that. And, you know, and maybe it's because they haven't really told anyone about their diagnosis or their experience. And it's funny that then after the weekend and they have this new, like, you know, group of women supporting them and lifting them up, that they're like, oh, you know, you see their pictures everywhere and they're happy to talk to, you know, media if you want or whatever, because they're, you know, they're now liberated and, you know, feel like this power of this connection. So it's really neat to watch it all unfold. Yeah,
I love that. I love that. I mean, it really is, you know, again, it's probably an opportunity for them to realize that it's a safe space. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a very big believer that we should never be ashamed of our own stories, because we never know who it's going to inspire.
Yep. And I think you realize that once you start hearing other people's, and then you're able to share yours, you know, like you realize like, wow, me explaining my experience, you know, now opened the door for somebody else to feel like they could share theirs. Right. And our program has really evolved because of some of that dialogue. For example, we now offer a series of retreats for women with metastatic, you know, stage 4 breast cancer. And those have been incredibly powerful and really, you know, needed. Those women really need those retreats. And yes. it's a different experience. And not that we were not serving metastatic women well at our sort of traditional retreats, but we found in feedback from women with metastatic breast cancer that they sort of felt like they were everyone's, you know, worst nightmare, right? Like no one, that wasn't the diagnosis that people wanted. So it was scary to hear, you know, and maybe the metastatic women didn't share as much as they could have if they were in a circle of women with metastatic breast cancer, you know?
Yeah.
And so we now offer retreats specifically for women with stage 4, and they're by far my favorite retreats.
I love it.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, if you ever want to see women really alive, it's that group of women. They are mm-hmm. so energetic and so wanting to participate in every little nuance of the retreat and the activities. And they're incredibly inspiring and amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure. I have many, many friends who are stage 4 breast cancer. So, and yeah, I mean, every single day I look at them and I'm just like, you are the shining example of what yep. it's like to be truly living yep. life. So I love that you have something that is specific for them, because I have always said, you know, I'm 13 years into my diagnosis, but I've always felt like there have been pockets of breast cancer survivors who have been kind of thrown in a corner mm-hmm. because they didn't quite fit the mold. Or, you know, yeah. it was scary. People didn't want to talk about it. And I feel like, you know, metastatic survivors are one of those groups, one of many groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
for sure.
I love that you have opened up the door to, you know, recognizing via their feedback that, you know, maybe we should have a retreat that is just specific for metastatic survivors. So I love that mm-hmm. you guys were, you know, listening mm-hmm. and really took that to heart. So.
Yeah, I think we're definitely always listening and you know, we get so much good feedback from the people who go through our programs, and we're a relatively small, you know, paid national staff that implement the programs across the country. And so because of that, we're able to make adjustments and you know, do pilot programs and try some different things based on the feedback we hear, because ultimately our goal is to, you know, serve women with breast cancer as best we can, you yeah. know, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, kind of, you had talked about venue, you've talked about kind of getting settled into a room. So where are these retreats taking place? Like, is this, you know, I envision like going to a hotel and getting set up there, but that doesn't really seem to make sense in my mind. so where are these retreats happening? What are these venues, you know, what do they look like?
Well, so it's different all over the country. I mean, everywhere is a little bit different. I would say in general, we do have some that are at hotels, you know. In general, the fishing is usually on a river, and oftentimes it's in a either a state park or in some cases, you know, a national park, I guess. Sometimes it's private water. It really depends. Sometimes it's a lake. But in general, we try to have a lodge, or it could be a camp. You know, for example, I'm actually based in Texas, and so our retreats in Texas, our Hill Country retreat is at a camp that's run by a religious organization, and they have a really nice sort of hotel style lodging accommodations that we use, and then it's right on the river so that we can fish there. The every every retreat is a little bit different, but you know, women do always get their own. You have a roommate at every retreat, so you're sure. paired with another woman, but everyone always has their own bed. And no matter where it is, we try to make it, you know, hotel style lodging. So definitely comfortable with good amenities. And
yeah,
we always focus on good, healthy food and snacks, lots of snacks throughout the weekend.
Yeah. So I was going to ask in terms of, you know, the food, do you, is that provided or is it something like, is there cooking that's taking place or are things brought in? Like, how does that all work? And again, I'm sure it's different, you know, 45 different states, but kind of in general.
It is different depending on the state, but in general, I mean, for the participants, of course, all the food is provided. So from the moment, I mean, the goal is to just get yourself there. And then from the moment you're there till the moment you leave, everything else is taken care of. I mean, you know, we'll remind you of what time you may need to be somewhere. But other than that, you know, all your food and everything is provided. And some venues, you know, have chefs that cook right there on site, and other venues may have food that's brought in for every meal. Some venues you may have, you know, depending on the conditions or the weather, you may have a picnic, you know, streamside lunch the last day. You know, it really varies, and that's also kind of what makes the program sort of unique, is that depending on where you are in the country, it could look a little bit different.
Right.
But the actual nuts and bolts of the program stay the same no matter where you are.
Sure. Well, I think it sounds really cool. I mean, I've never considered fly fishing. I've never done anything fly fishing. I think, you know, maybe the most I know about it is watching a movie.
yes. People often ask if Brad Pitt's going to show up.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, that would
River runs through it.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say the name, but then I was like, oh. I mean, you know, if Brad Pitt showed up, that would be ideal for some of us. But,
right.
you know, if he doesn't, it's okay too.
Right.
So,
and there's you don't need to have any experience. I mean, most women have never fly fished before, or fished at all for that matter. You know, and that's okay. You don't need to have any experience to attend. And the flip side is okay too. You know, if you have fly fished or you do fish or you're a regular angler, that's okay too. That's great.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that's super cool. You know, just people coming from different experiences, all together to do this thing. And so you talked about people applying. So I assume there's an application maybe on the website.
There is. Everything is online. So castingforrecovery.org, and applications opened just in January. So for the whole year, our first retreat will be the last weekend in March. And then the retreats run through November, I think, this year. So, you know, basically you go to the website and there's a tab that'll say, you know, find a retreat. And you can click on that and you'll see it divided out by state. And you can read about the retreat experience. I think we have some videos on there. And then you can apply to the retreat closest to you. It's all electronic and then from there, it's a lottery selection, and people are notified that they've been selected, or sometimes people will be notified as an alternate. And, you know, then you have to submit some paperwork, you know, from your doctors and medical team just to, you know, get the go-ahead that you can participate. And then you're kind of off to the races. And I would say, you know, if women apply and you don't get selected on the first go around, please apply again. Like I said, earlier, it really is one of those things that you will get selected for the retreat you're meant to be on, whatever that is,
right.
You know? So I would just encourage people to apply.
For sure. And so say I live in Arizona and maybe I wanted to go to a retreat in Alaska because that sounds cool. Can I do that, or is it really kind of, you know, go with the area where you're at?
It really is. You apply to the retreat closest to you.
Okay.
So, you know, that we really try to stick to that model.
Sure.
Again, just for the, you know, the post-retreat community aspect. So, yeah, I mean, everyone, you know, Alaska would be phenomenal. Lots of people are like, oh, but I want to go to Montana, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
And we get that. I mean, we get that people would like to go all around. But as it stands now, it is, you know, you apply to the retreat closest to you. And if you were to apply to Alaska, woman on our team that coordinates, you know, retreats and selections, she'll work with you to redirect you to the right spot.
Exactly. Okay. We're like, but we want to take the detour over here. And she's like, no. Sorry. No detour for you.
We have on occasion, in the pilot program, a couple of years ago, we, did a specialty retreat for young women. So women 40 and under with breast cancer. And it was, a pilot program. So it was in Wyoming and we accepted applications from all over. So we do on occasion have specialty things like that, but the general rule is, you know, to apply closest to you.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. All right. And so, you know, say I'm, you know, again, I don't know the technical terms, but I'm picking things up here. So I feel like I'm good on this. So if I'm an angler, or if I want to be, you know, if I'm somebody that's in this kind of world of fly fishing and I want to get involved, can I get involved? Do you accept volunteer work? You know, how does that happen?
Absolutely. So, you know, like I said, I mean, this organization is run by an army of volunteers. I mean, we have 11 people on our national staff and then 1,800 volunteers across the country.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, a huge undertaking, and we are so lucky that we have these amazing volunteers who do everything that they do to make these programs happen. So if you want to get involved, we do on the website. So again, at castingforrecovery.org, we have a volunteer tab, and it'll list all the volunteer opportunities that are out there. And then there's an application, and you apply, and you can check all the different things on the application that you're interested in, or maybe that you have a skill set in. And then from there, they feed into our national office, and we'll put you in touch with the local program in your area, and then they'll reach out and work with you on, you know, what the opportunities are at that program. And then usually they also keep you on their list. So like if there's an event or a, you know, something that you know about it, and you can attend and learn more about the program that way too.
Right. And even if I'm not into fly fishing world or an angler, I could still volunteer if I wanted to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have lots and lots of volunteer opportunities. Fly fishing is just one component of it. I mean, there's lots to do that isn't fly fishing related to. So, yeah, lots Perfect. Of opportunity.
Okay. And then, you know, say I'm one of those people where I, you know, I don't have the time, or, you know, I just don't, you know, I just can't give my time, but I'm interested in donating money. Is there an opportunity for monetary donations?
Absolutely. We are always, like any nonprofit, right? We are always looking for donations, and that's what fuels our organization. So absolutely. I think, donations are a big part of what we always need. So I would encourage anyone who is compelled to donate to please do so. And I guess the other piece is I would also encourage people to, if you know somebody that would benefit from a retreat like this, share the opportunity with them, pass them on to our website, tell them to follow us on social media, you know. We'd love to be able to have them apply and attend a retreat.
Yeah, absolutely. And so kind of that was a really nice segue in for me. But, you know, so if our listeners are looking to find you on like Facebook or Instagram or, you know, any social media outlets, what are the handles that they can find you?
Okay, I can go down the list. So we are on Twitter, and that's at Casting4, the number 4 recovery on that one. We are also on Pinterest, which is kind of a new fun little platform for us. We have lots of boards on Pinterest and kind of fun pins. And again, that one is Casting4, number 4 recovery. Our favorite channels really though, and where we have the most community are, Instagram and Facebook. And on Instagram, we're Casting for Recovery, and same on Facebook, Casting for Recovery. We do also have a LinkedIn page, so you know, you can follow us there as well.
Okay.
And that's also Casting for Recovery.
Awesome. Well, and then did each of the individual affiliates have their own social media outlets, or is it kind of, you know, just one page, if you will, for the entire nation?
Well, we do the bulk of the heavy lifting, I would say, on social media with the national pages, and we'll kind of connect you with things that are happening everywhere. But the programs do have their own Facebook pages. So, for example, there's Casting for Recovery Texas, right? So there'd be a page for that. And some programs also do have Instagram pages, but some don't. And it, depending on the program, they may or may not be as active on social media, but we're very active on social media from a national level.
Okay.
So, you know, I would probably start there and then, you know, branch out as needed.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, you've shared a lot of information. And like I said, I was super excited about this particular podcast because, again, I know nothing about fly fishing, but I think it's a really cool idea to bring breast cancer survivors into, you know, kind of this activity and just have that weekend for themselves. So I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I will definitely encourage all of those people who I know. So if you are a listener, please get on and apply. Hopefully your applications will increase.
yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. And I will certainly submit myself for a retreat here in Arizona, even though I would love to go to Wyoming, Montana, or even Alaska.
right.
That's okay. but really genuinely, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you just to the entire organization. You know, if I can just, you know, thank you for the work that you're doing within the breast cancer community. It's really important work. And it's unique. And I love exactly what you guys are doing. So thank you for spending your time with us and sharing about Casting for Recovery.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. And, you know, I hope your listeners will apply. That would be great. We'd love to see them at a retreat. And
yes.
You too.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Behind the Pink Ribbon. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you or anyone you know would be interested in sharing your story, please send an email to podcast@behindthepinkribbon.com.
Thinking about advertising on this podcast? Our ads not only create awareness for your brand, but also contribute to the continued growth and support of this show. Email us today and be on our next episode. Email podcast@behindthepinkribbon.com for more information. You've been listening to Behind the Pink Ribbon, produced by American Creative Consulting, mixed and mastered at Riverview Podcasting Studios. For more information, please visit designbyacc.com.